What a start to the week. Unfortunately, what happened in Boston, so sad. Our hearts go out to all the people there. I had a couple of friends running, and 141 people injured in the Boston Marathon. That number's fluid. It keeps changing. At least 17 are in critical condition. Doctors are pulling ball bearings out of people. Wow, an 8-year-old died in this attack, and somebody else died as well. So you can imagine everybody's talking about this, who's responsible, what's the government doing, and whatnot. Each and every show, right from the get-go, we talk to our pals from Talk Radio News, none better than Victoria Jones. Victoria, I'm sure as soon as this happened late in the afternoon, that's what was going on in Washington, waiting to see what the White House reaction was going to be, and what was that?
Well, yeah, very much waiting to see what the White House reaction was going to be. Well, it didn't take very long. I mean, we started to hear that the president had been briefed very quickly, and that the president had ordered that all assistance should be given. And then a little after 6 p.m. Eastern time on Monday evening, the president came out to the White House press room and spoke for about 3 minutes, very grim, very terse, saying we still do not know who did this or why, and people shouldn't jump to conclusions before we have all the facts. But make no mistake, we'll get to the bottom of this, and we'll find out who did this, we'll find out and why they did this. And that they would, he said, they'd feel the full weight of justice. Now, he didn't call it a terrorist attack. The White House called it a terrorist attack. The FBI has called it a terrorist attack. I think he was very careful with his language at that point. It was later than that that the FBI called it a terrorist attack.
Yeah, are any theories floating around? Because, yeah, it could be anything. The ball-bearing thing, I think, is pretty alarming. And there have been some other reports about descriptions and whatnot. What are the theories, anyway, floating around among the reporters there?
I think the theories range from it being something homegrown and that it coinciding with Tax Day and Patriot Day to the possibility of it being something from overseas. I mean, there was a long running theory going on all afternoon that there was some Saudi person in custody, and that was never really confirmed, never really sort of not confirmed. And although the authorities did say late Monday night or middle of Monday evening, actually, that there was nobody being held at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. There was no suspect being held there. So they sort of knocked that on the head. But there have been so many things floating around that I don't think that anybody really has a sense of who it could possibly be. I really have to tell you that I don't think anybody is really openly speculating. Everyone's being very careful, actually.
Right, because we don't know. How many times have now many of us been bit on that when you get some information, then it leads you in a different direction, and it's not at all what it appeared to be anyway?
Well, like with the Texas prosecutor killing.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody thought it was the Aryan Brotherhood of Texas, and it looks like it isn't.
Yeah. Exactly. There's something else, too, and obviously everything's about this, but I just happened to catch this earlier in the day because I'm following what's going on with immigration reform, and the Senate Judiciary Committee decided to delay that hearing because, you know, everybody's all whipped up about this is going to be a bipartisan bill and everything. There's nothing to that, right? Is it just a shift for just to dot a few more I's and T's, give some senators some more time to read the bill is what I think I heard?
That's what Senator Marco Rubio's office is saying, and what Patrick Leahy, who's the chair of the Judiciary Committee's office, is saying, to give them more time to read the bill. It's a complex bill, and there's a lot in it, and that's pretty much the direction that they're going in. That is they're saying that it could be lengthy and complex are the words that were being used. Also, they've added another hearing next week in the Judiciary Committee. So they were only going to have one hearing. Looks like they're going to have two hearings on that bill now.
Wow. All right, so we'll watch for that. We'll keep a watch on what's obviously happening in Boston. Victoria Jones, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, so the latest is, just to fill in a few more of the details, the White House is definitely calling this terrorism, as we were talking about there with Victoria. The bomb squad in Boston, they were searching the bomb blast, of course, near the finish line, and it's believed to be terrorism anyway. The two bombs left at least three more dead, and there's scores more injured. It's a question of who's going to survive. Really, they're fighting the clock. And the saddest thing is all the amputations that have had to take place, too. 17 people were in critical condition, 25 in serious condition at one point. 8 of the patients are children. 10 people injured had limbs that had to be amputated. And, you know, this is Massachusetts General Hospital, like Victoria was saying there. It's unbelievable. The injuries mostly to lower limbs, and that's because of where this blast came out of. In the next couple of days, you're going to see surgery after surgery after surgery for some of these people that they're definitely desperately trying to save. And the president, and we'll let you hear that a little bit later, says anyone responsible, any groups will feel the full weight of justice. But what, in all the speculation, what does it feel like? Does it feel like, oh, here we go, a student visa, there was descriptions of that, some guy that ultimately got in and was his truck came through, was that what it was? Is it somebody that was homegrown? Was it a tax day assault? You know, you're talking about 50 to 100 yards apart. That's where the blast went. And it was that main area where you have a lot of people that gather to cheer the runners. Sometimes they don't even know any of the people running in it. It's just one of the things to do where you line up early in the morning. And you're talking about a 26-mile, 385-yard feat, an endurance race to be sure. Coming up on America Tonight, we're going to talk with Robert Siciliano. He was in the race, and wait till you hear what he has to say about finding his family when he ultimately got to the finish line but couldn't cross the finish line, and just how awful, awful, awful it was. And the scene that he saw is he actually evaded police to try to get to his family. So now it's about the explosive devices. They found at least one that they took apart, and they're classifying it. I checked with my pal at the Pentagon. They're definitely classifying the bomb as a terrorist attack. But was it domestic? Was it foreign? Was it domestic? Was it foreign? And then, of course, there are other conspiracy people that are throwing in a few other things as well. And it's Patriots Day in Boston. Monday was, so it was a big day. And then that commemorates the opening battle, of course, of the Revolutionary War. It was tax day. The crowds were pretty big. It's really Boston's biggest day, other than one of the teams winning a Super Bowl or winning a Stanley Cup or winning the NBA Finals and having a huge parade. So because of that, other cities really battened down the hatches. New York, Washington, it's not a surprise. That's the protocol now after 9/11. You start to look around at some of the other cities and think, well, maybe something else is going here. And the FAA had a flight restriction over the area in Boston where the bombs actually went off, and it is actually amazing when you think of 27,000 runners, 27,000 runners who had crossed the finish line, and the timing of the bombs going off. Wow. Robert Siciliano next here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
Introducing a 30-day emergency food supply for only $99. At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can purchase Oregon Trail Foods' one-month supply of high-quality, nutritious, and healthy emergency meals for less than $100. These vegetarian meals are natural, high in carbs and protein, and are packed with oxygen absorbers in Mylar pouches. They take up to 70% less space than number 10 cans, have a 20-year shelf life, and huge portions, over twice the serving size of some competitors' meals. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low by buying direct from producers in Oregon and then pass the savings on to you. Purchase a 30-day, 90-serving emergency food supply for only $99 this month, and $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Call 541-673-6666 or visit 30dayfoodsupply.com, where they make preparedness affordable. 30dayfoodsupply.com. Got it? Get it. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com.
We've been talking about what's happened in Boston. I had several friends running the race, and it's just mind-boggling sad. It reminds me so much of, sadly, what happened when I was in New York City, 9/11. And now we've got another person killed. There's two people so far, including an 8-year-old. Unbelievable. There are no words. 141 people injured in Boston in what looks to be a terror attack. What variety, we don't know now at this point. Our pal Robert Siciliano, no better. He is just a great guy, personal security and identity theft expert. We've had him on the show so many times. And he does a great charity thing, Miles for Miracles, for the Boston Marathon, every time he runs it. And people love to donate to that and really love Robert. Robert, we're very happy that you're okay, but what a terrible thing to witness. Where were you? Explain what happened and what you heard while you were running.
I was actually rounding the corner to Boylston Street. I had, done about a 4-hour marathon. I was on my way to the finish line. It was in my sights. I saw the finish line. The explosions went off. Boston police pushed everybody off the road. They stopped. They basically put a barrier right up where I was. It all happened so fast. Boston police acted very quickly, and they got everybody off the road, and I essentially hopped the barrier, and I kept running down Boylston Street because between those two bombs and me was my family. And so I needed to get to my family. And one cop grabbed me. He pushed me off to the side, yelled at me. And then I kind of got away from him. And then I ran, and he started screaming at me, at another cop. He grabbed me, almost tackled me, and he secured me. And he was about to arrest me, but obviously he had bigger fish to fry. He let me go. I jumped over a barrier. I went into the back alleys. I was running along the back alleys where all the people that were in all the restaurants and the bars that populate Boylston Street, again, that's the road where the marathon finished, they were all spilling out into the alley. And I was running amongst people that were yelling and screaming and crying. There was blood in there's trails of blood on the ground where people who had evacuated out of the back were bleeding. And I made it back to the finish line, like backtracking to the finish line crossed over Boylston Street, made it to my family. I had talked to my dad a little bit earlier and told him to get them out of there because my concern was, I called him. As soon as the bombs went off, I called him because my first concern was that another bomb would go off. I just wanted him to get them the hell out of there. I didn't want him to wait around for me. I just want him to get them out of there, my wife, my two kids, my sister-in-law. And on the way, while I was going down Boylston Street, I was the first one down Boylston, like one of the first only civilians down Boylston Street, because I was basically evading the police.
Right.
And the only people on the road at that point were bodies. I don't know if they were alive or dead. I think they were alive. They were either flat down or sitting up. Mm. They were bleeding, and they were being tended to by the only two ambulances that were there that were there to help the runners, not bomb blast victims. And there were Boston police and the Boston Athletic Association's volunteers helping the people that were down. And I ran by them and eventually got to my family and,
wow.
I'm pissed off.
Wow. Your family, I mean, thank goodness, you clear head, thinking, calling your dad, all of that. But, I mean, your wife must have, because they could have been right there, right where all that happened. And luckily, with that call and with moving around and whatnot, what did they say that was like for them? It had to be terrible.
Well, my seven-year-old said that was a lot of fun until the bombs went off.
Oh. Yeah. Wow.
Well, how do you explain that to a seven-year-old?
Yeah, how do you explain that? I mean, in your head, that's never a thought in your head, Robert. Never a thought in your head when you're running this storied marathon, is it, obviously?
You know, I mean, unfortunately, in my mind, I think of all that stuff all the time. You know, I know too much.
Yeah.
But that wasn't my thoughts as I was running down Boylston Street because, you know, I had just run a four-hour marathon. It was a personal best. It was a good time for me. And the finish line was in my sights, and bang, bang, you know, like, that was not what I was expecting.
Yeah, as a security, you know, as you said, you have those kinds of thoughts because you're the security man. And were at all, after all that was done, in other words, you're reunited with your family, all that kind of stuff, were you thinking in your head, geez, what happened here? Are you trying to assess how maybe somebody got in, or you just said, nah, you're just worried about your family?
No, yeah. My wife had carried my four-year-old for probably a good, I don't know, maybe quarter mile, and then my sister-in-law had carried her for such a distance, and I could see that they were exhausted from carrying her. I mean, she's four, you know, like a four-year-old's what, like 40 pounds, 50 pounds?
Yeah.
And so I grabbed her, and because we had to get out of there. I could smell smoke. Like, I'd been running the marathon all day, so I was smelling, like, people were smoking ribs, they were cooking burgers and dogs along the course, and so I was smelling, like, great smells of smoke all day, but the smell of a bomb going off does not smell good. And I smelled that, and my dad was thinking about sticking around to get in his car out of the parking garage, and I was like, you are coming with us, we are going home, we are getting out of the city, this place is going to be gridlock in less than 10 minutes. And fortunately, the way I parked my car, it was on the edge of the city, and we got out of there pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Robert, I know it's been a very trying, obviously, day, as I said at the top, and our thoughts are with you and your family, and thank goodness you're safe, and they're safe as well. And thank you for joining us on America Tonight.
Thank you, Dale.
All right, so Robert has been on the show many, many times, not expecting to go and run the marathon. As he said, he was excited about his time. He had done this race so often in his life and had really had things working for this charity where a lot of people were chipping in money for his race and whatever his finish time was and whatnot. So the 117th Boston Marathon, the running of it, will be forever known now as probably what will be go down either a domestic or a foreign terrorist act. At 9 o'clock in the morning, you've got the race people getting excited. You have all the people lining up. You have the moment of silence, ironically, for the victims of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. And then eventually, you know, 9:32, the women are off. 10 o'clock, the men are off. And they begin the race, and then this is the elite runners. And then just after 10 o'clock and right before 11, you have the remainder of the field, which is about 24,000 people, because you have to qualify for the Boston Marathon. So all the elite runners had been in well ahead of everybody else. But when you had thousands coming down Boylston Street, as he was describing, toward the finish line, and this was about 2:50 in the afternoon, East Coast time, those explosions erupt, and about a block apart, as I mentioned before, within 8 seconds of each other. So then you have this pandemonium and this crush, this chaos of figuring out what's happening and people bleeding on the streets. So you have race volunteers, the few handful of emergency workers trying to do whatever they can and setting up any kind of a makeshift trauma clinic, and that's exactly what they did to try to help the people as soon as they could help them. But the images coming out of there were just unbelievable. I mean, just unbelievable. Legs severed off, described to me by one friend is that there were limbs in the street. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that people were seeing as they were coming around a corner and could see the smoke and whatnot. And, you know, there was a third blast near the JFK Library in Dorchester, Massachusetts, about 5 miles to the south of Copley Square, but there was no injuries there. And so, naturally, you had increased security all over the place. And now it's a question of who did this, what can they find out, and what we'll know in the next couple of days. But let's hope that those people that are in the hospital fighting for their lives, let's hope that they can save the lives of those that are critical and also those that are in serious condition, because you have people at all different stages of where they were and what happened when the bombs that were inside trash cans went off. And you wonder, trash cans, usually at these marathons, they don't have those trash cans. For the most part, they're pushed further back. So there were trash cans there, and this is where the bomb supposedly came from, inside the trash cans. If you want to throw in your 2 cents, 855-266-8, 855-266-5283.
Start life over. Spend more quality time with your family. Take more vacations. Own your own business. Be healthy and earn the kind of income you've always dreamed of. Is it possible? Yes, with Youngevity. First, you've got to see the video that is turning the medical industry upside down. Go to HealthyBody13.com. That's HealthyBody13.com. Watch this video, then pre-register for the Spring Youngevity Convention, May 2nd through 4th in Las Vegas, Nevada. And guess who will be there?
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And I prescribe the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'll be there.
Hi, I'm Steve Schultz, Vice President of Training here at Youngevity. I'm taking the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'll be there.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, President of the Genesis Communications Network. I'm taking the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'm going to be there.
Take the Healthy Body Challenge and don't miss the Youngevity Convention in Las Vegas, Nevada, May 2nd through 4th. For more information, go to HealthyBody13.com or call 1-800-360-8695. That's 800-360-8695.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free, a 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply, be in control, be self-sufficient, and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables, and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
It sounded just like a bomb, what I thought the bomb would sound like.
The boom, you felt it, it hurt your ears.
Something just blew up!
I saw a trash can explode, and people started throwing down the barricade and running over each other, and I ran in the other direction as fast as I could.
This was like the scariest thing I've ever experienced.
I saw runners in front of me fall, stunned, some with some injuries, and then I looked over and saw just a pile of bodies.
The medical team here responded instantly.
All right, so that's some of the sounds of the Boston Marathon once it was ripped apart just before 3 o'clock East Coast time. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Whatever nook and cranny you hail from, I'm certain that you saw some of those images and you have thoughts about this latest attack, and maybe even some theories. You can't help it but think to yourself, well, geez, who did this? Is this some moron trying to copycat somebody? Is this some homegrown, so to speak, person just looking to make it look like something else? Is this the act of a sleeper cell couple of people? Is this somebody with direct lines to Al-Qaeda or some other equally evil terrorist organization? There's lots of theories floating around, even some conspiracy theories that are way out. But you look at just the evidence of it. We know one thing for sure, obviously, the idea was to get the amount of people where you would have the most amount of people when the bombs went off, because the crowds are bigger finishing then. You've got your elite runners that have long been through the race. So at that point in the marathon, they knew exactly, hey, this is where we're going to be able to get more people. That's the idea of this bomb, to injure or kill as many as possible. And they did it at the height of when you'd have a lot of the kind of, I'm going to call them the average runner, coming through. So knowing this and staking it out and knowing where the trash cans were and being able to do it, now how'd they hook all of this up? It just shows you that we are definitely vulnerable. Anybody who thinks that we are 100% safe in this country, you're fooling yourselves. We are far from that. 9/11 was the biggest wake-up call, but since then, anything's really possible. Anything's really possible. And they're talking about probably 5 of these bombs all together. I talked about some of it. You know, you had, and this is really maybe one of the saddest things of all, and as far as I know, I tried to track this down today, and I haven't gotten a hardcore answer on it, but I think that this didn't happen. But you had families who were the survivors of Newtown, Connecticut, who had children that were killed, who were in the stands, who at one point were in and out of the stands. And I don't believe, I can't say it for sure, but I don't believe that any of them were injured. So you had runners approaching the end of the race when the two blasts went off in succession, and it sent them just off from the finish line, as Robert described to us when he was talking to us. And some people who were running, since they couldn't, that were further back, thought that it was kind of some celebratory thing. They weren't sure what they were hearing. And then there was conflicting information that was running through the line. And boy, was this anti-government radical American group, because it's April 15th, deadline for filing taxes, Patriots Day in Massachusetts. And it's the start of a week that sometimes has seen violence during that week. If you go back in our not too distant history and look up some events that have happened. One thing we know for sure is that they had been made with black powder and ball bearings. And how they were set off is what I want to know. How were they set off? It's unclear who's responsible at this point. They were speaking, some of the investigators were speaking to a Saudi citizen, and we're going to let you hear some of the miscommunications or what people thought initially had happened. They were speaking to a Saudi citizen who was injured in the bomb going off, but there was nobody in custody. There's nobody in custody as far as I know. And you think how that blast sounded, sending people falling down in the streets too, almost that ringing in your head, the whole concussion thing, and that's what it seemed to be was described, is that's what it felt like from some of the people that were describing what it was like as they approached and were close to the bombs going off. And you know, we always say this, anything's possible. There is no blanket you can throw over the United States. We live in a free country, and let's keep it that way. You know, this goes to what now may mix into the whole gun argument thing. Some of the things that are also being discussed is in looking further into the device, the explosive device, is very similar to what was used in 1996 at the attack. Remember that in the Centennial Olympic Park bombing, rather, in Atlanta, not quite as large. And in the Atlanta attack, a pipe bomb was detonated near some people that were walking. It killed 2 and injured about 100. And very similar to what happened in Boston. So what you had is a truck. If you remember Oklahoma City, you had a truck there packed with thousands of pounds of explosives, and that killed 150 people. And then we're talking about the whole idea of fertilizer that was used in part to that. You know, ANFO is something which some people have actually mentioned, and even Jack from Down Under is mentioning the same thing, that there's something that was used in mining. It's funny because my family originally, they came from Pittston, and I remember them talking even about some of the things that happened in the mines in Pittston. So I think there's some similarities even to Oklahoma City, the fertilizer, the diesel. It would be very easy to get. And here it was just a calm kind of celebratory day. where now everything in Boston is all shook up. Certainly some shops closed down. Planes were briefly grounded at Boston Logan International. The Boston Symphony canceled its Monday night concert. A Boston Celts game was also canceled. And now certainly more police presence, you can see. Backpacks are being searched in bags and, you know, everything else. And the governor, Deval Patrick, is saying that the city of Boston is definitely open and is going to be open, but it's not going to be business as usual. And we're telling people to stay home. If they're in hotels, return to the rooms. Don't go places. Don't congregate in large crowds because they're fearful that there could be something else that happens, knowing how many people, extra people, are in the city, because you've got so many folks that go to Boston because it's one of their bucket list things, run the marathon. It's just like New York and Boston, run the marathon, and that's what I want to do. I get in shape, go and run one last time, or run every year, or whatever it might be. But you definitely have people that come in from all over the place. And, you know, you draw probably there maybe 500,000 people who watch, spectators. That's not uncommon for people to sit to watch who don't even know anybody in the race, just want to be part of that whole celebration thing. And, man, can you imagine the shock that it was so powerful that it blew out right along that route? Shop windows, even a window they say in the third floor of the library in Copley Square was blown out. And there was damage reported, you know, to buildings, too, that weren't necessarily right there on top of everything. But the worst thing, we don't care about that so much, is the pain the people were in and what was happening to them. How there were people that were in the streets that were being dragged off the streets, who had head injuries, who had leg injuries, legs that were barely on. I mean, just unbelievable conditions for the people, like a war zone. I mean, so many people, it's really gruesome to describe, but you're talking about people without legs, like Afghanistan. There were some who were in the race, who are former vets, who say, you know, it sounded like Afghanistan. And then what happened afterwards? You think of the IEDs and the damage done, blood, people, you know, without legs, bone fragments, the what you would think you would get and what you do get in some of these war zones. Certainly not a Boston Marathon. Certainly not that. All those people in these near-perfect conditions trying to run, trying to better their time, trying to get across for the first time, you know, whatever it might be. So just to keep this up, 3 people were killed, and 141 is the count now, could be more, 141 injured, and varying states, as I said, some fighting to continue to live and going through yet another surgery, but that'll forever change, I'm certain, the Boston Marathon, unfortunately, and security very, very tight in the city of Boston as they try to piece together what happened here, more specifics on it, and find the person or the people who are ultimately responsible for changing what would have been a tremendous day for so, so many people. Stay with us a little bit more on the marathon. Some emails I got from some of you, I'll throw a couple of those in, and a couple of quick odds and ends on the day.
Hello, I'm Pastor Broden. The First Amendment is made up of 5 platforms that are designed to limit government and protect our liberties. Our founding fathers covered in the First Amendment the right to religious liberty, restriction on federal government's interference in our religious liberty, our right to free speech, and the right to a free press. The fifth platform in the First Amendment is the answer to our government operating in an unconstitutional way. The right to peaceably assemble and petition redress for grievances. Redress means to set right, to amend. It is a remedy for a wrong or an ill perpetrated against we the people. To nullify unconstitutional law or executive orders, we must petition redress. Sign our petition for redress at c.x.com. That's c.dot.x.com. Redress equals solution.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
I want to stress one thing. There is no suspect at Brigham and Women's Hospital. There are people that we are talking to, but there is no suspect at Brigham and Women's Hospital. Has been widely reported in the press. I'd like to fix that right now.
Boston's Police Commish Ed Davis constantly giving updates and then correcting some misinformation that was circulating. Because, you know, now the push is, who did this, let's get this person or get this group of people now and nail them to the wall. And in the quest to be the first to report it, there's been all kinds of misinformation that's been lobbed about and half-truths or half-information and trying to figure out what happened here. And so that's what was initially said, that there was somebody who was questioned, who was the suspect, and that wasn't the case at all. Then the thought was, and there are still links that could circle back to this, but then the thought was, there was a Saudi, and this was what he's referring to, there's a Saudi national under guard at the hospital, and the suspect was questioned, and there was someone there on a student visa, and that is who is the suspect in this. So a lot of things that were flying around in the push to try to get to be the first to report who it was. And, you know, there are great examples of what we think happens and then ultimately is not what the case is. And certainly can't blame anyone for trying to nail this down as fast as possible, because here's the thing, whoever did it, if they're in it out of there and they've really, really think that they got away with a clean crime, in other words, there's nothing that can link it back to them, then do we find out who ultimately did this? I'm thinking we do because of things with the bomb and what I've heard from a source of mine in the Pentagon, but it still hasn't happened, so we'll see. And this is what, like I mentioned to me, the tragedy of this is certainly the kids, the idea that this is a happy event, that this is a bucket list thing for people, that it's a jewel in the crown of the city of Boston. This is their event. This is what draws people to the city. They make visits there. They go look at pieces of history, and they run in the race. And the fact that, I mean, here you have, for goodness sake, families from Newtown that were in the grandstands during the attack. Does it get any worse than that? You know, they're there for a reason. They were recognizing that those moments of silence, they were recognizing the young children and the others, the adults from Sandy Hook Elementary. And then the fact that they were there is just, that shakes me. I'll tell you, it does. And I've tried very hard to try to track that down. And I've already mentioned this now, but I'll say it again. The best of my knowledge, and I could be wrong about this because I don't have a definite accounting of this, but it seems as though none of those people were hurt. None of those people were hurt. And here's the thing, when you had so many people in the conditions they were in, the setting up this medical tent and trying to do whatever they can for the carnage, you have a 4-hour mark is a crowded time near the finish line, which is why Robert Siciliano, who came on with us at the top of the show, talked about he was there at the right when those blasts were going off because he was the average person. When there would be so many recreational runners that would be completing the race and friends and relatives would be there to cheer them on, whoever did that certainly did their homework and knew that and knew that there wouldn't be big response teams because there are only on a race site people there for race-related illness kind of things that happen, like dehydration. That is the typical thing that you see at a race, especially a race like the Boston Marathon. So there are people that are counting their blessings that narrowly escaped without any kind of injury. There are other people that were injured, but not as severely as some that were just bleeding profusely and were dazed and kneeling in the street and shocked by what had happened here. Just absolutely awful. A couple of quick things. Some other things happened on the day, including the fact that I think this is a big story. It's getting covered up because of what happened, and I understand that, in Boston. But we've talked about Gitmo so many times on this show. We've had three people on who have been to Gitmo, 3 and 4 times, actually, to tour it to see what it was like. Oh, these inhumane conditions and all this other stuff. And so now we get the news that a judge denies the bid for any kind of a relief from the Gitmo prisoner who's on a hunger strike. Now the president is saying because of politics, one of his campaign promises to close Gitmo is not happening, is not possible, which to me is a smart move because having the prisoners coming stateside and what that could ultimately mean security-wise for wherever that would be, I would be concerned about that. But in this case, we're talking about one prisoner on a hunger strike. The lawyer was pleading and saying his client is dying, and that was the whole idea, you know, to get me out of Gitmo pretty much You know, you look at the Military Commissions Act, it bars judicial review of claims made by detained enemy combatants regardless of the conditions of confinement. And this is a voluntary hunger strike thing. The prisoners and others in the hunger strike said they were being denied drinking water and the temperatures in the prison were at freezing levels. And there were other allegations that there was deliberate indifference to the prisoners who had medical needs and a whole bunch of other things. So there was a 1-hour hearing, And it's a voluntary hunger strike, thank goodness. It's self-manufactured, as the judge said. And this is a very, very good decision. A very, very good decision instead of some other kind of move. You know, this is the hot potato going through the different levels of legal in this country and trying to just, I think, just completely shut down Gitmo, which would be a very, very big mistake. This goes under the radar because of Boston, because of the terror at what happened in Boston. And we haven't seen this in a long time. The Dow was down 266 points. You know, they're talking about the market correcting. And gold posted a big one-day drop, first time, biggest one-day percentage in 30 years. And this is part of, I think, what's going on globally. Still, the two-year low for an ounce was over $1,300 for gold. And, yeah, I think back just a few years ago to what gold was. And for so many people, boy, gold was the best bet. People have people I know that were able to scrape up a little bit of money. Boy, it even with sell-offs and everything else, gold has still been, it's just a surprise, still turned out to be very profitable for some of the people I know, like I said. But the Dow average, worst one-point decline since November of 2012. And you had mining, energy led the whole sell-off thing, and whatever the tie might be. Some are saying there felt like there was a tie to perhaps some of the negative news in Boston. Obviously, the terrible news in Boston. I'm not so sure about that. It might be kind of a blowback on a couple of different things. Even the Venezuelan elections, you know, we talked about that heading into the weekend and why we cared about Venezuela. And there are many reasons why we care about Venezuela. But Hugo Chavez's hand-picked successor, Nicolas Maduro, won the election by a very narrow margin. And there is a lot of discontent bubbling over in that country because of power blackouts and ridiculous crime amounts that have shot up. There is a cry to actually recount the votes, but I don't know that they're going to recount every single vote. Maduro says, let 100% of the ballot boxes be open, that we have no fear. Go ahead and do it, because I feel like I'll still win this thing. The margin, very, very small, less than 300,000 votes out of 14.8 million cast. Wow.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.